Oh Lord, I am like the moon. Without the sun I hang in darkness too. So be the light, the light that shines through. Reflect off me the love that comes from you. And it all comes down to this. Jesus, I must confess, I won't be afraid to step into your flame, to burn in you, my love, to burn in you, my love, to burn in you.
Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory be to his name. Glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're listening to Radio Redemption and Power. We are a South Florida radio program that preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we continue our study in the book of 1 Timothy. The last time we were together, we finished off verse 14 through 15, and we saw how the importance of stirring up the gift, the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us to be able to edify the church. Every single Christian has a gift, and if you're not exercising that gift, you're actually handicapping the body of Christ, because God has given you that gift so that you can edify, so that you can have a place in the church of Jesus Christ. And tonight we continue, and we're going to finish off in verse 16. Remember, you can visit us on our webpage, redemptionandpower.com, or you can write to us on Facebook or iTunes, where you can also listen to all of our podcasts. You can also download the Radio Redemption Power app either on the iTunes store or on the Google Play store, so you can listen to it at your convenience. Or you can write to us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com, or contact us at 305-320-7727. Brother Lewis, would you kindly lead us in prayer tonight?
Amen. Father God, tonight we want to praise you, Lord, and we want to give you thanks for everything that you have done through us and in us, Lord. Father, tonight we pray for this wonderful message that you have for us, Father. We pray that you speak through us, Father, that you edify your people and lift them up. In your Son's name, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Tonight we continue our study in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. And actually the last verse that we left off was verse 16. And just to do a quick recap of the book of Timothy, we see that the name of Timothy means one who honors God. This book was a personal letter that was written from Paul to young Timothy, who was a pastor that was chosen to minister in the church of Ephesus. And though it is written to a pastor, it also applies to every single Christian. So every single Christian who desires to honor God, who desires to live a life that is in godliness, that is an example of Jesus Christ living through them. And this is very important, especially in these days that we live in. The Bible shows us that God has called us to a life of holiness, a life of separation, a life of overcoming sin. It is a life that rises above the standards of the world and walks by the Spirit of God, by faith, keeping their eyes upon Jesus. And here we have much instruction as to how a minister and a Christian should walk. We're able to see the qualifications of what is required of an individual that is to be a leader in the church of Jesus Christ. We see the importance of true doctrine. And in fact, this is something that Paul hammers throughout this whole book, the importance of doctrine and how so many fall away into doctrines of demons, how many men fall away into false teachings. And especially in these days that we live in, where people have less and less knowledge of the Word of God, we have to take heed to the Word. We have to take heed to the warnings that the Spirit of God expressly says or clearly says of the last days. And here, verse 16, Paul begins this verse by telling young Timothy, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And I like what the HCSB says. It says, pay close attention to your life. Take heed to yourself. And this is something that's very important, because sometimes we look too much at other people. We look at other people's conducts. We look at other people. We try to define somebody else's spiritual life, and we don't pay close attention to ourselves. And this is dangerous, because it is in fact hypocrisy when we try to either justify ourselves or compare ourselves to other people. We look at the Pharisees, and the Pharisees looked down on others, yet they did not take heed to the corruption that was in their heart. And this is important for a Christian, because every Christian will have to give an answer to the Lord Jesus Christ for that which was given to them. And then that day, it's not going to matter those that were around you, those that influence. Every person will have personal responsibility for their actions, for that which they committed, for the life that they lived. And we see that the nature of the flesh is always to look to blame to someone else, always to give responsibility to somebody else. In the garden, when Adam and Eve had fallen, the very first thing that Adam said when God asked him, why have you eaten? He pointed to his wife and he said, the wife that you have given me. And this is the nature of the flesh. Always looking to blame others for their own faults. And the true sign of humility is taking responsibility for your actions. Confessing your failures before the Lord. And in fact, another scripture in James says that we ought to confess our faults one to another. We are to keep close watch of our lives to make sure that we're not getting cold, that when we see that we are slipping, that we cry out to God. Because when we look at these individuals that fall, it's not something that happens from one day to another. It is a little by little, it is a compromise that happens little by little by little. When we look at a ship in navigation, it only takes 1 degree for that ship to be off, and eventually it will end in a totally different direction that it was meant to be. And that's why we have to maintain our course. We have to keep our eyes focused upon Jesus, because Jesus is the standard of the New Testament. See, the objective of the Christian is to look more and more like Jesus. And often these characteristics are things that nobody else can see, things that are within our heart. And they do manifest themselves outward, but you can't see them. I cannot see these things in other brothers and sisters. We look at the Pharisees, and they were very good at fooling those that were around them, because they had an appearance of sanctity. But Jesus knew the hearts. He knew the true condition, and he said they are whitewashed sepulchres, whitewashed tombs with dead men's bones. The scripture says, above all, guard your heart, for it are the issues of life. For it are the things of life. Everything that we face in life, the way that we approach it will depend on the condition of our hearts. We are to guard our hearts. We are to keep ourselves in close watch and discipline. When we start to see tendencies of sin start to get out of control in our lives, and we know that there is something wrong in our lives, let us not let it linger. Let us not wait for it to get out of control, for us to come out to God, to cry unto Him, to pour out His Spirit, and to bring us back to the course which we have. We've said this many times before on this program. How many godly men who started in a way that was without compromise, in a way, a desire with pure motives to build the Church of Jesus Christ, because they did not watch, because they allowed little by little compromises to creep into their lives, they eventually were seduced by Satan. They eventually gave themselves over to the side of the enemy, and most of them don't even know it. And that's how deceptive sin is. The Bible says that sin so easily besets us. It so easily ensnares us and traps us. And if we're not careful, we'll fall. We look at one of the characteristics of Satan, and he is a serpent. He's sly. He's able to creep into places and go unnoticed. And that's why we have to keep alert. Not only is he a dragon, not only is he a lion, but he is a sly serpent. And he can hide behind places where we cannot see. We look at a lot of accidents where people get bitten by snakes. And the majority of the time, that snake was in a place where they least expected it. It could have been under leaves, under bushes. It's not easy to see. And that's why we have to be on guard, always constantly asking the Holy Spirit to search us, and especially if you're a minister of God. Jesus Christ says that the enemy looks to smite the shepherd so that the sheep can be scattered. He looks to find the leaders so that those that are under their leadership will lose faith, will lose hope, will be scattered, and then go after the sheep. How many times do we see when a pastor falls that people even stop going to churches? Not so long ago, there was a very big church here in South Florida where a pastor fell. And it not only did it devastate the church, but it was a huge opportunity for the neighborhoods around, for the city, for the news to blaspheme the name of the Lord. And that's something that's very important to understand, that a Christian minister and a Christian period carries the name of the Lord, carries the reputation of the name of God. And that's why we're to give close attention. Take heed, he says, to yourself. Watch yourself. One of the things that Paul speaks about, he says, I keep my flesh under subjection. I do not allow the flesh to have power over me. And the only way to do that, the Bible says, is by walking in the Spirit. He says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And when we walk in the Spirit, that means that we walk with something that is much deeper than what we can feel, what we can see, what we can hear. We walk according to the Word of God, even if our feelings do not line up to it. Because the Word of God is greater than any other physical or present reality that we are facing. And we do so by faith. We walk by the Spirit by faith. Because when we begin to doubt, we allow the enemy a foothold. The Bible says that only through faith can we please God. Only through faith can we have victory in the Christian life. If you do not have faith that you have victory over sin, that you will be able to overcome this present obstacle, then more than likely you're not going to overcome it. God in His grace may free you. God in His grace may do a work in your life. But the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. We must have faith that God would strengthen us. We must have faith in His promises. The Bible tells us in the book of Jude that Jesus Christ will keep us from falling. In fact, I want to read that verse because it is a powerful, powerful verse. And it is Jude 24. He says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Amen. Jesus can keep us from falling. And if we keep our eyes upon Jesus, He will strengthen us, and even as Christians and as ministers of the Word of God, we will not fall. We will not bring to shame the name of our Lord.
Amen. Watch yourself. You know, this places a big responsibility on every one of us to check ourselves. And what that means is that we need to look at ourselves and how we are aligned with God. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, Brother Lewis, I'm a Christian. But you know what? When we look at how Jesus looked at the Pharisees, when they said they were holy people, he called them whitewashed tombs. It is our responsibilities, brothers and sisters, to check ourselves. Not only the way we look at ourselves, but also how other people look at us, how we treat others. Following that, it says, and the doctrine closely. You know, one of the biggest problems, and, you know, and I appreciate my brother Michael and the pastor of this ministry, Pastor Javer, that he's very careful about the Word of God. And I've had several times when my brothers have said, Brother Lewis, you know, this and that. Because a lot of times, brothers and sisters, you know, we learn things from people that is not from the Word of God. So one of the greatest things that we do is that we congregate together. And a lot of people may think that's not important, but it is. Because when we congregate together, we're able to share with one another and learn from one another. You know, all of us don't know it all, but that's why together we're the body of Christ. We learn from each other. We edify each other. And all of us push each of us to walk in a straight line. It's very easy for us to, you know, when we're alone, to be pushed in a certain direction. And I think that, you know, that's probably what happened with Eve. Perhaps she was walking and for a minute she was alone and she was deceived. You know, and I've said it before on the program. I said, you know, I wondered why, if Adam was there and he knew the truth, why didn't he pull her away and say no? Perhaps she was alone and she was deceived because of that. You know, I don't know if that was a fact, but I'm just putting it out there. It could have been a possibility. And that's why a body is important to keep each other in check and in line. Because it continues and it says, if you do this, you will save both yourself and your hearers. And what does that mean? Well, what it means is that by doing this, you'll have access into God's kingdom. And not only that, because you could influence people in the wrong direction. You know, one of the things that I've heard some people say, well, you know, religion shouldn't be taken so seriously. I mean, we're supposed to enjoy ourselves, go to clubs, drink, you know, whatever may have you. Well, the problem is that that's not what the scriptures say. So that's what your opinion is. And when you tell other people or influence them in that way, right, you're influencing them in a way that's going to lead to condemnation and destruction. So we need to, it's our responsibilities, brothers and sisters, to go into the Word of God. It's our responsibility to search the Word of God and to find out what the truth is and to find out the way that God wants us to live our lives and what He wants from us. Not what other people say, not following other men, because that's what the world is doing. That's why we have the world the way it is today.
One of the things that Paul compares the Christian life with is with a race. And he speaks about competitors and those that are competing for a crown. But how much more we as Christians ought to run this race carefully. And one of the things that we see about those that are in competitive sports, those that are in competitions, in the Olympics, many of these athletes, they prepare for months, years for these events. And many of them live very restrictive lifestyles. They have a strict sleeping schedule. They're careful with the things that they eat. They make sure that they're exercising the amount of time that they need. They're practicing and practicing. And these individuals are competing for a gold medal, silver, bronze. And they have so much dedication to these things. And yet we as Christians who are racing towards eternal life give no attention to our spiritual walk. We are not careful with what we place our eyes on. We're not careful with what we listen to. We're not careful with what we read and hear. We're not careful to find out what God desires us to do in His Word. And how do we expect to have victory in our Christian life? Many of us are always struggling. We're always struggling with sin and we complain that the Christian life is hard. But we never stop to examine how much are we putting into it. How much are we giving and sacrificing? Jesus Christ said, abide in me. And though that may seem to sound as it is something passive, just remain there. However, there are many things in this world that desire to make us leave that place, desire for us to move from that position of rest in Jesus Christ. Circumstances. The devil wants to bring circumstances in our lives to try and get us to move from that position and confidence and faith in Jesus Christ. We look at the life of Job. What did the devil say to God? He said, if you take away all these things that he has, then surely he will curse your name. And when that didn't work, he says, if you touch him, if you make him sick, then he'll curse you. And the same way, he desires for us, for our positions from resting in Christ, for us to leave that place. We have things of this world, as goals and things that we may want in life. And those things can also be competing and trying to get us off from this position of resting in Christ. But we must watch and ask ourselves, am I abiding in Christ? Am I hearing the voice of the shepherd? Jesus Christ said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me and I give them eternal life. And eternal life is not something that just happens when we die. It is an ongoing life of those who remain in Christ, of those who are in fellowship with the Father, of those who are filled with the Holy Spirit. If those competitors can be so passionate about what they do and they compete for an earthly prize, how much more we as Christians that are running for a heavenly crown? Brother Lewis mentioned the second part of this verse. He says, take heed to yourself, and not only to yourself, but to the doctrine, to your teaching. There's a verse in the book of Proverbs that says there's power in the tongue for life and death. And I believe this applies here in that we have the ability to preach the gospel to someone and that person can hear and receive and be converted and turn to God and be transformed and be saved. But there is also power to teach something false and have a person be damned to hell unless God turns them from that. That's why we see there's so much emphasis. Practically almost every single book in the New Testament, including Jesus himself, warns against false teachers, against false prophets. And that's the reason why we talk so much about it here. Because that's one of the things that the Bible emphasizes on. So if the Bible emphasizes it, then we emphasize it too. Because these false teachers are leading people to hell. They are causing the name of Jesus Christ to be blasphemed. And that's why we have to be careful with what we teach. The Bible says that teachers will be judged more severely because they have the power to influence. Look at all these things that we've heard in history of men that have opened, that have started cults and have caused many to join in mass suicide. That is the power that a false teacher has or can have. He has the ability to influence many lives and lead them to destruction. And Paul here tells Timothy to keep watch, not only in your personal life, not only in your personal spiritual life, not only in the way that you're living, but to the things that you're teaching. I haven't counted how many times he exhorts Timothy in this book, but I can say it's dozens of times where Paul has been exhorting Timothy, continue in this doctrine, in the doctrine that you received, and that which was given to you. We have the word of God, brothers and sisters. The word of God is sufficient. The word of God is sufficient for the building up of people. It's sufficient for overcoming the devil. It is our sword. When the devil came to tempt Jesus, there was two things that were very important in his encounter with the devil. The first thing the Bible says that he received the Holy Spirit. Before he even faced the devil, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. If you are a Christian that is not filled with the Holy Spirit, you have no chance against the devil. You have no chance against sin, because he will seduce you easily, because only the Holy Spirit has the power to restrain the flesh. And the second thing is that he had the word of God. Three times he said, it is written. It is written. But if the word of God is not in us, we have no chance. No chance. That's why the very first thing that Satan attacked in the garden was the word of God. Has God said? Did God really say this? So many people are falling into the hands of wicked men because they don't know the word of God. They don't know the Bible. And sadly, many of these individuals are on their way to hell. And on that day, there will be no excuse. Because God will tell them, I gave you a Bible. I had others that warned you about these men. But you decided to follow them rather than Jesus. He says, watch your doctrine. It matters what we teach. It matters what we say. We are accountable to God. And many would have blood on their hands on that day because they did not take heed to the doctrine. And Paul says, continue in them. Continue in them. Stay, remain faithful. See, the most important thing for every Christian is to remain faithful. Jesus says, be faithful unto the end. Be faithful unto death, he tells the church of Smyrna. That is the goal of every Christian. Be faithful until death. And in order to be faithful, you must be full of faith. You must believe that God is who he says he is. Because if God is not supreme in our lives, if we do not see God as King and Lord and Father, we're not going to be faithful. Because we'll value and cherish other things more than God. And the Bible says where your heart is, that is what your treasure would be. If your heart is in God, if God is in your heart, then he is your treasure. And your life, what fulfills you as a Christian, is not just, it's not just the blessings of God, but it's God himself and knowing him and walking with him. That is the reward of a Christian. When the Lord talks to Abraham and he tells Abraham, he says, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. God is our reward. God is our prize. To know him, to walk with Jesus. Paul says, continue in this doctrine. Continue in the gospel. Because the gospel is not only the message of salvation, but it is the way of salvation. As we die to ourselves, as we walk that walk in the path of the cross, it becomes less of us and more of Jesus. Less of the flesh and more of the power of God. The more and more we follow and remain in the Word of God.
Amen. I would like to read a scripture. It's found in the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 51. You men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in the heart and ears are always resisting the Holy Spirit. You are doing just as your fathers did. Whose voice are you hearing? The small voice that convicts you of sin? The one that most of us tend to neglect, avoid? Or are you turning to the voice that tells you what you want to hear? This is something that is very sad that's happening in our communities, my brothers and sisters. What is the reason that you're going to church? Why are you going to a service? Is it because you want to be seen as somebody holy? Is it because you want to come and be around people and socialize? Perhaps to tell them where you live, the car you drive, how well off you are? Or are you coming to seek God? One of the things God is going to require from us is for us to be obedient to him. And in order to be obedient to God, we have to submit to him. It's not what we want, it's what he wants. That's why when the disciples went to Jesus And they were arguing among themselves to find out who was the greatest in the, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Jesus Christ says the least is going to be the greatest. Why? Because the person who is the least is the one that's going to submit to God. He's going to stop fighting him. And one of the reasons that we can't achieve what we want, one of the reasons why we're struggling with some of the mistakes that we've made in the past, is because we've taken things in which we had to give to God into our own hands. We need to stop worrying about what the world's doing and start learning about what God wants us to do. And when we submit to God, then he starts guiding us into our promised land, into our destiny. And it's only when we give ourselves to him that this is going to happen.
The reason why Paul tells Timothy to take heed to himself, or to pay close attention to his life and to watch his teaching and to persevere in them, he says in the latter part of the verse, he says, For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. You will save both yourself and your hearers. What's interesting about what Paul is saying here, he's speaking about Timothy and he says, you will save yourself. First, he speaks about Timothy and then about those that listen to what he's saying. The interesting thing is that Timothy was already a believer. Why is he speaking about salvation in a future tense? And I think this is very important, because when we get into a study of salvation, we realize that salvation was not just a past event. It was not something that just happened once and for all. It is a continual process. We look at the life of a Christian, and when a Christian is saved, they have been justified. They've been declared innocent before the throne of God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. However, there are still things, sins, strongholds in the life of that individual. And through the promises of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're overcoming these areas in our lives. Just like when Israel was to enter the promised land. They didn't just enter and were like, okay, we made it. We're here. Or they didn't just get out of Egypt and say, okay, that, you know, we're good. We're set. There was still more to overcome. And even when they entered the land, there was giants to be brought down, to be destroyed. Every Christian should always be overcoming and being saved from the power of sin. There should be a continual process. Salvation doesn't just happen once and for all. It is something that is also happening in the present and is happening and will happen in the future. One of the reasons why many Christians settle with the bare minimum, they don't go on to walk in the promises of God, it's because they're not being preached. It's because there is a lack of leaders that are proclaiming that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome sin in our lives. And one of the reasons why many of these pastors don't preach is because many of them are living in sin themselves. There was a study that came out not so long ago about pastors that either view or are addicted to pornography. And it is staggering. Not only pastors, but men in churches that are addicted to pornography. And with this type of strongholds in the church, how can we expect for men to stand up in boldness when those that are called to proclaim the power of God are themselves in chains? And that's why the message of the gospel is not only the message of justification, but it is a message of liberation. It is a message of freedom, of not just the penalty of sin, not only the guilt of sin, but also the power of sin. The Bible says that we as Christians are dead to sin. It should not rule in us, rule over us. We are servants of Christ, servants of righteousness. And when you preach the wrong doctrine, not only will you yourself not prosper in your Christian walk, but those that listen to you will also remain in that same level. They will not grow. They will not overcome because they're not hearing words of faith and power. And notice that the first focus is on watching his life and saving himself. A man that is drowning cannot save another man that is drowning. That's why we have to take heed in our personal lives to make sure that we're walking right. Make sure that we are being faithful to God. To make sure that our hearts are right with God before we try and go out and save others. Because God will call us to account for that. We have a great responsibility. Not only as pastors, but also as Christians, because other people are watching us. They're looking at our testimony. And if we preach something that we do not live, they will see right through us and they will not receive it. Unbelievers can see through false Christians. Unbelievers can see when there are Christians that are only Christians by title and not by deed and by actions. They can see and smell phony Christians a mile away. And those that are not walking in faithfulness with God are powerless. Because we only have power so long as we abide in Jesus. Because he's the one that sends the Holy Spirit. He says, I will send another comforter. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit. And if we're not abiding in him, we will not be filled with the Holy Spirit. We will not have the ability to walk a life filled with power. We will not be able to destroy the works of Satan. We will not be able to live out the promises of God. We must take heed to ourselves. Pay close attention to our lives, to what we teach, to remain in them, to live out what we teach, and to believe the word of God so that salvation will come and be evident in our lives and in those who hear our message, not only through our speech, but through our lives.
Amen. I like the way that the book of Isaiah puts it, Pastor. Chapter 64, verse 6. And all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf. And like the wind, our sin sweeps us away. You know, when we come to Christ, we're exactly that. Like a filthy rag, unworthy of being accepted into his family. But yet Jesus chose to come here to free us, even though we were unworthy. And one thing that he gave us is the ability to become clean. He came to wash away our sins. And like Pastor Javer said, when we come to God, we come with a lot of filth. And a lot of it doesn't come out the first day. We need to wash that sin with the blood of Christ. We need to remind our mind and our body that we're subjected to Jesus Christ. And this is a struggle, brothers and sisters, because like my brother Javer said, there's a lot of temptation out there. And every year that goes by, this world becomes more corrupt. There's more things allowed now on the TV and the internet that has ever been allowed in history. Today, it is easy for a young man or woman to find filth in the internet or even on regular soap operas on TV. That's why it's so important for us to keep our eyes clean from those things. But we can't live life locked up in our homes. We need to go to work. We need to go out and buy food. And we run into these things. So how is it that we could fight? How is it that we could win this battle? And the key is to be focused in Christ. If we fill our minds with God, if we fill our bodies with the Holy Spirit, there won't be any room for all the filth. And we could have victory against the power of the devil. Father God, tonight we come to you in repentance, Lord. Father, we ask you for forgiveness for times when we've taken things into our own hands. Times when we failed to watch our lives, our direction, and our purpose. Forgive us, Lord, for our times taking people's words and not seeking your word, Lord, to find a true meaning. Father, help us, Lord, be people of righteousness, Lord, that walk aligned with your purpose, Lord. Father, let us not sway to the left or to the right, but Father, to be people to finish this race in a way that we could honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And brothers and sisters, let us maintain ourselves firm, especially as the coming of the Lord is so near. Some people may say, well, they've been saying that for many generations. They've been saying that since the 50s, 60s, and 70s, as Jesus is coming soon. But that just means that we're even that much closer to his coming. And we exhort you. And we exhort ourselves to maintain ourselves in the faith and in the word of God, in the sound doctrine of the scriptures. We thank you for listening tonight. Remember, you can visit us at our webpage, redemptionandpower.com. You can also listen to our live feed. Remember to catch Brother Lewis's program on Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock, where he has his talk show. You can call in and ask any question you want with Brother Lewis on our radio, redemptionandpower.com website. You can also write to us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com or visit us on our Facebook or iTunes or get the app on the Apple Store, on the App Store or the Google Play for your convenience. Thank you for listening tonight. We pray that the Lord blesses you.
Every day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power. And the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
You're the voice inside my head. Don't give up. Don't let go. Don't lose trust. All my fears gone. You can have all my sins. You can have all my weakness. I know you're with me to the very I know you're with me to the very end. You know me, and I know you. You're the God who calms all my storms. You're the voice inside my head. Don't give up. Don't let go. Don't lose trust. All my fears gone. You can have all my sins. You can have all my weakness. I know you're with me to the very end. You can have all my fears gone. You can have all my sins. You can have all I know you will.